The natural inclination for myself as a parent is to protect my children. That's good. If someone hurts your child, either verbally, emotionally, or physically, how do you do this with no anger? We do want to protect our children, and there are unfortunately, things that they will run into, people that they will run into who will want to hurt them or will hurt them. Bullying, I think they call it nowadays. You know, it's always been bullying, but now they've got a name for it. And kids are mean. Kids are nasty to each other, really mean to each other. And so you do want to protect your child from as much as you can from that kind of thing. But without anger. It should be relatively easy to do that with the other children, because we understand that other children don't know what they're doing, right? We understand that children are kind of like, don't have the kind of, moral guidance, moral capabilities that they should have, that we would like them to have. They're children. One of the ways that you can get some proof about past and future lives is to look at children, especially very young children. They come out already formed. Have you noticed that? Like people who have had children, children come out with a whole personality. This whole nature-nurture thing, well, of course there's nurture involved, but, there are huge differences in children from the very start. But most children come out, in need of correction. Right? I mean, they're wild. They are amoral, kind of amoral, and that comes from past lives. That comes from bad behavior in past lives. And so your job as a parent is to help your child improve themselves in this life, and it is your obligation to teach them morality, to teach them how to live a good life. And I don't know. It seems like many parents nowadays are falling down on that job. They lack the confidence or something like that. Relativism is a major kind of force in our world where, it's everything's just relative. What you say is as good as what I say. And, there's no right or wrong and stuff like that. Well, there is right or wrong. Actions of body, speech, or mind that hurt another being are wrong. And the reason that they're wrong is not because there's some, God up on Alpha Centauri who's going to spank your bottom when you die. The reason that they're wrong is because it hurts you. You see, it doesn't bring a happy life to hurt other people. What goes around comes around. So if you're hurting other people, then other people will hurt you. And that's what you can do to protect your child. You can teach them karma. That's the best protection that you can give to your children. Is like to say, well, if you don't like Johnny hurting you, then make sure you don't hurt other people. Yeah? How does it feel to have somebody hurt you? See, you don't like that, do you? So never do that to anyone else. That's the basis of all morality right there. And so this is one thing that is really, really important for people to do with their children, is to give them a basis of morality. In a world where that's kind of lost its bearings, in a world where the whole idea of right and wrong is kind of slippery and shaky, so you can teach them karma. What goes around comes around. That requires you to actually believe it, however. So you might think about that. You might think whether you really believe it. If you're teaching kids stuff that you don't believe, or especially that you don't act upon, like try to live by, you won't teach them anything. See, that's the real way to teach children anything. It's not to blah, 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 but to show it, to demonstrate it, because they're watching. And they'll pick up on it in a heartbeat if it's, just words, empty words, and not followed by any action. So, if you want to protect your child from harm to others, teach them where harm comes from. You see? Teach them where it comes from. How did it happen that Johnny was mean to you? And, And everything comes from a cause. Everything comes from a cause. They wouldn't have people being unkind to them, cruel to them, unless they had been that way in the past. And then you go, well, yeah, but they're only 4 years old or something like that. Well, then you have to go to past lives. Then you have to go to past lives. And it's hard to believe in past lives. But if you don't, but sometimes there's just no recourse. You know, sometimes the child is too young to find anything much in this life that would account for it. Although, you know, I'll back up on that a little bit and say, you know, like, children from the age of about, what, two or something, when they're kind of conscious, you know, are hurting other people. They, you know, they steal other people's toys, and they, you know how children are. Anybody who has children knows this. People who don't have children tend to romanticize children. You hang out with children a little bit. Go to the preschools and stuff like that. It's a moral nightmare there. It's the law of the jungle, you know. and so, you know, it's possible even in this lifetime to show a young child that there is such a thing as cause and effect. If you have stolen, you know, if you have taken toys from other people will come and take your toys. So when other people come and take your toys, you can say, like, did you ever take any toys from anybody else? You know, even in this life, you can probably, you know, show cause and effect, moral cause and effect. And if you can't, for whatever reason, well, then you just have to, like, assume that there are past lives. And in any case, this is teaching a child how to live successfully in the world. Is to, number one, don't do to other people what you don't want them to do to you. If you want people to be kind to you, then be kind to them. So secondly, if you want people, whatever it is that you want, make sure you do it to someone else, give it to someone else first. And then what was the third one? If you want to keep something, if you want to keep your toys, what? Share them. If you want to keep your toys, you have to share them. You can't keep your toys by being possessive of them. It's like, and the reason for that is because everything is changing, you see. Everything is in flux. So, you know, we can't actually keep anything by trying to hold on to it like that. It's changing right inside our hands. It's changing, you see. It's like trying to hold on to, like, feathers or dust motes or something like that. You can't keep it like that. You keep things by keeping it in circulation. Okay? Just try to remember that. That's how you keep things. You keep things by giving them away. And then they must come back. See? Keep them in circulation. I hope that answers the question a little bit. That's how to protect. The real protection that you can, the only real protection, I'd say, that you can give to your children is to teach them ethics. Teach them ethics and compassion. That's the only protection any of us have. Children or adults or anything. The only protection that we really have is understanding how the world's working. Wisdom. Understanding that, you know, what goes around comes around. And working that system. Working the system. And having some faith in it. Come on. I didn't really rehearse this much with you guys, so maybe just this will be a nice time to do it. You know, if you're having trouble believing in what we call karma, and we all have trouble believing in this, here's when we have trouble believing in it. When things don't go right for us. When things go right for us, we tend to be big fans of karma. You say, oh, you know, you got a promotion at the job. Yes, I deserve that. I created the causes for it, now I get the effect for it. I was a good worker. Cause and effect. Big fans of karma. But then when something unwanted happens to us, then all of a sudden it's, well, how could this have happened? This is so inexplicable somehow. So here's your options when karma's hard, hard to believe. Here's your only two other options for explanation as to why things happen. There are only three. My teacher taught me this like 13 years ago. I have a PhD. I said three, I'm going to think of at least a couple more. Come on, only three. And I'm still working on it, so maybe you guys are smarter than me, and when you figure out a fourth one, please email it to me so I can adjust my belief system. There are three ways, logical ways, to explain why things happen. Number one, there's no reason at all why things happen. Everything is random. And that actually is a logical explanation. To just say, well, there's no reason for anything. And it's not like, don't look at me like I've never heard that before. We do this all the time, actually. In that very same scenario that I was talking about earlier, when bad things happen to us, you know, sometimes we say things like, why did that happen? It's so random. I don't know why this happened. It's so random. No reason. You see, that's the random worldview. Okay? But if it's going to be a worldview, if it's going to be a logical explanation, it's got to be 100%. Everything is random all the time. So if you like that one better than karma, you can pick that one. How does that sit with you? That everything's random all the time. See, how could you live like that? How could you live 5 minutes like that? There would be no reason to do anything at all, you see? Because, you know, who knows if what will happen? You know, why would you send your kids to school? Why would you go to work? Why would you do anything, you see? Thinking that there's no relationship between cause and effect. There is no cause and effect. That's the first one. So the second alternative is God or some God is micromanaging everything about the universe. And no theist, no thinking theist believes this. A theist is somebody who believes in God. No thinking theist believes this, and there's a very easy reason for that. Why a theist wouldn't believe it. What do you think it is? No free will. No free will whatsoever. You're just the marionette, the puppet of the great marionette. And it's, you know, again, 100% or nothing. God's not sometimes micromanaging the world. Always 100% or nothing. So that means everything that we do, but I'm raising my right arm like this, like a crazy person, because it's God's will. God's will. God's will is making me go like this now. God's will make me go to the pub. God's will make me inject heroin. See? No free will. No responsibility over yourself if you believe that. You see? It comes to the same as number one. It comes to the same thing. It's as if it were random because you are totally out of control. If that's your worldview. And there's only one left, okay? And that is everything is in the nexus of cause and effect. Karma. Everything. 100%. So most of us have this fourth, you know, kind of hybrid worldview. I'll put it in quotes like that. This is what quotes. Because it's not really a worldview. It's illogical. The fourth one is sometimes things are random, sometimes God's micromanaging, and sometimes there's causality. Like we're walking in and out of random zones, we're walking in and out of causality zones, and then once in a while, you know, we kind of hope that God's micromanaging our universe, especially when, like, you know, the plane's going down. When we're on the plane and the pilot gets on and says, you know, the engines don't work anymore. And then it's all like, you know, oh dear God in heaven, you know, please micromanage my world for me now for a few minutes here. Right? So pick your poison, okay? Which one? Is everything random? Is everything in God's will? Or is everything caused? Is everything karma? And that's how you get some faith in karma, by looking at the options. By looking at the options. The other two options are not nearly as appealing as the third one. The third one is the only one that gives you any kind of power over your life, you see? The third one is the only one that gives you some kind of sense that there's something you can do about your life to change it. So, it's hard to believe in karma sometimes. It's not easy. There's times when it's very, very difficult to believe in karma. But then you have to say, well, so, what's a better explanation? Is there a better explanation for why this happened? And then you're kind of left with only those other two. So, you know, the classic example of this is, you know, why do bad things happen to good people, seemingly good people? And then you go, well, you know, like the one that I usually get, you know, I didn't get it this time, but, you know, what about the Holocaust, you know, World War II, the Holocaust of the Jews, what about that? Was that their fault? Was that their karma? See, then we started, like, use, you know, then it's hard, isn't it? But then, so, you know, you can start by saying, well, what else are you going to say? What else are you going to, what other explanation are you going to give? Bad luck. That would be, you know, worldview number one is to say bad luck. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Bad luck. And then if it's bad luck for the Jews in World War II, it's luck for us all the time, you see? It's not just like, well, luck happened to the Jews and the rest of us are in causality. You see what I mean? Or you can say number two, as some Jews actually do say, is that God did it. And then you've got a big problem on your hands. There's a whole subset of Jewish theology that tries to explain the Holocaust. How could God let this happen? You see, not easy to explain it that way either, is it? What kind of God is that, that would let that happen, you see? Or you could say, well, it must be causality. There must be cause and effect here. Now, that's one level. Here's a deeper level, okay? You have created the karma. Each and every one of us have created the karma that forced us to live in a world where there was a Holocaust. Okay? Each and every one of us has created the karma that forced us to be in a place where there was a Holocaust. So now whose fault is it? Now who are you going to blame? See, ultimately, like, the only person to blame for anything when it comes to karma is the kind of last person that we want to blame or be responsible. See, this is the challenge of karma. Can you be ultimately responsible for everything? See, can you be responsible not just for the nice things or for finding a good parking lot, you know, parking space? You know, sometimes people, oh, I got such good karma, I found a parking space. Karma is universal. Karma, everything happens because of karma. Everything that happens in our lives, everything that happens in our world, everything that happens in our mind is coming from our karma, is the unfolding of our karma. And that's a kind of a radical thought. That's an awesome thought, and it's very hard. It's very hard to believe that. It's very hard to hold that. But if you can get some sense behind it, it is enormously empowering. Enormously empowering. Ultimately empowering. Because then you can change everything. How do you change the world? We went through this last night, a couple of nights ago, remember? I kind of snuck it by you. How do you change the world? You change yourself. Because the only knowable world there has ever been is the one that's filtered through your subjectivity, isn't it? Yeah. So what comprises the filter, the subjective filter, if not karma? That's what karma is. Karma is providing the filter that makes you see the world around you and everybody in it and yourself. You see, karma also is forcing us to see ourselves in the way that we do. But everything's filtered through that subjectivity. So if you want to change not only you see, if you want, changing you is, you know, it's fine and good. But to change the world too, this is how you really help other people. This is how you really will change the world, is by changing that subjective filter. And then the only knowable world there has ever been or ever will change, because you're seeing it differently. Your world will change. Whether other people's world changes or not is not in your power. But your world will change. And your perception of other people will change. And that's how it's going to actually happen. That's how it's possible to have to think that it is, that a pure land, what they call a pure land or heaven on earth or something like that's possible. Because when you change, your world changes. And if you're nodding even inside about that, nobody's nodding on the outside because they probably know better, because there's huge responsibility if you start nodding like that. See, then who are you going to blame for poverty and war and, you know, the Holocaust and World War II? Who's responsible for that then? See, we all want power, but we kind of shirk responsibility. We love the idea of power, but don't like the responsibility so much. So if you're following me down that path of going, yes, no one has an objective view of the world. The only knowable world there is that filtered through my subjectivity. My subjectivity is caused, the filter is caused by the way I have thought, spoken, and acted towards others in the past, also known as karma. Then you just got handed the way to save the world. To change your karma. Which will change your subjective view of the world, which will change the world. The only knowable world there has ever been for you. So put that in your pipe and smoke it on the way home tonight. On the way home this afternoon, just like work on that a little bit, okay? And try to realize your responsibility. It's not President Obama's fault or responsibility. It's not the Dalai Lama's responsibility. It's not Prime Minister Julia Gillard's responsibility to help the world, to fix the world. It's our responsibility, each and every one of us. It's our responsibility. So get going. Change you. Get going. Change you. And of course, you change you how? By seeing yourself trying to change others. Seeing yourself trying to help others. Yeah, that means change. Seeing yourself trying to help others helps you, changes you, which then changes your view of the world around you. Okay? So it's not like, oh, I'll just go home in my little corner and change me somehow. You change you vis-a-vis your interactions with others by trying to help them, by trying to live a better life vis-a-vis others. That is karma. That's what creates the karma to change you, which then changes the world around you. So teach your kids that.